A recent report from the Washington Post named Wisconsin among a handful of states whose power companies are pushing back against the solar industry. That puts Wisconsin, along with Arizona, at the forefront of the fault line between utility companies and rooftop solar.
Mike Ivey joins us now. He's a business reporter for the Capital Times. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys.
So what did this recent report say about this solar energy, residential solar energy versus the utility company kerfluffle here in Wisconsin?
Well, the reporter for the Washington Post had wrote a story about some of the pushback from the utility industry against rooftop solar, and it was based on a conference that a lot of utility executives had attended. He got a hold of some inside information that wasn't really shared publicly, and it talked about how traditional electric utilities are going to have to really circle the wagons, so to speak, to fend off what they see as a threat from residential solar panels. Obviously, if someone has a solar panel on the top of their house, you can't charge them for that electricity. So there have been a series of rate changes now in Wisconsin. People may start noticing on their electric bill that their monthly fixed charge, that's the amount that is your charge just for being hooked up to service, is doubled in a lot of places. I know here in Madison, MG&E's monthly service fee has gone from $10 to $19. Similar increases in Milwaukee for customers of We Energies, and also in Green Bay area for public service customers. It's kind of part of a national debate that's really going on now, because the issue is that people are actually using a little less electricity than they used to. Things are more efficient. It's just like with automobiles, but appliances have become more efficient. People are using electricity. The problem for the power companies is their cost to keep the poles and wires operating and the big power plants running hasn't gone down. If anything, it's increased. So they're faced with declining sales at the same time they've got these fixed costs they need to cover. So the approach in Wisconsin now is, let's raise everybody's fixed cost to, in the way the utilities say it, is to spread those costs across all customers. Wisconsin has been probably one of the most aggressive in terms of changing these fixed rates, and I think that's what's kind of caught the attention of the Washington Post and several other outlets. I've seen Wisconsin mentioned with Arizona and New Mexico, two states where, frankly, they probably have more solar installations than they do here, keep getting mentioned in the same, in some of the same reports. But Wisconsin is you know, for the solar industry, it's not great publicity here, I guess.
And you've been following this story on and off for the last couple of years, Mike. Have these changes put a damper on the growth of residential solar here in the state?
Well, it's hard to really say. I mean, the industry would say yes. The real issue is the amount of money that the power company will pay back to customers. If you think back when the home solar energy really started, people would say, I'm generating so much electricity that I can sell it back into the grid, into that connection of poles and wires, the electric grid, and then utilities would actually pay you a little bit for that generation. What they're doing now is they're trying to change some of those payback structures. So that's what happened with We Energies. There's a appeal of a Public Service Commission decision on that now. What it really means is that if you do have the rooftop solar on your house, it may take longer to recover the cost. The payback may be take longer if you're not getting any money back. What's really sort of interesting is that there's not that much rooftop solar in Wisconsin. I was sort of surprised to look at one story for We Energies, the largest utility in the state. There's only 450 We Energy customers that actually have rooftop solar that they're selling back. That's like 0.4% of their customers. MG&E, just a handful of customers, 0.14%. So I've heard some advocates say they're swatting a fly with a nuclear weapon, that we've just got, here's the number, 6 out of every 10,000 utility customers in Wisconsin have some sort of rooftop solar.
So why is Wisconsin in the lead on this, given that as states go, we're not seeing these solar panels blooming on rooftops around the state?
Well, some of the advocates say that, with kind of the shift in state politics here, that the utility industry sort of sees a regulatory agency that may be more favorable to hearing their side of the story. All three commissioners now of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission, this is the quasi-judicial group that sets utility rates, are all Walker appointees, and they've generally gone along with the utility side on a lot of these cases. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that the Walker administration hasn't been a big booster of renewable or alternative energy projects. You can look through a lot of the budget things, and a lot of the support for alternative energy has really been cut. One of the first things that happened in the 2011 budget was to change those focus on energy grants that used to go out to people. So, I mean, they tend to side more with the fossil fuel industry, and that's sort of, I think, industry sees that, hey, if we can get things done in Wisconsin, maybe this is an opportunity to set precedent for other states.
As you mentioned in your piece and in that Washington Post report, Wisconsin is one of many states that have introduced or considered legislation changing the way people pay for their electricity, the way the fees work.
Right.
Some critics are saying, hey, this is coming from the conservative group ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Do Wisconsin's utility rate changes have a connection to model legislation that group has proposed?
Well, I don't think it's word for word the same, but you can look at some of the ALEC proposals, and it talks a lot about one thing that I think has bugged ALEC or has bugged conservatives are the mandates that you need to get a certain amount of your power from renewable source. And their argument is, let's let the market determine that. We shouldn't be artificially inflating the market by providing subsidies for wind and solar versus coal and gas. Now, the other side of that argument is the coal and gas industry has been getting lots of subsidies for a long time. So it's one of these big kind of policy fights around energy, and it's like trying to turn an aircraft carrier. It's hard to, once it's going in one direction, it's hard to get it to turn. So I think anybody that thought that the fossil fuel industry was going to go quietly away while we all started using electricity and driving more efficient cars and pushing for that was probably mistaken.
We're talking Wisconsin utilities, solar power, and the politics of energy with business reporter Mike Ivey. Mike, how has the solar industry itself responded to all of this? Are they trying to match the influence of utility companies?
Oh, certainly. I mean, they're in there lobbying as well, and they've got their friends in the legislature. It's kind of unfortunate, I think, that a lot of these things tend to break down so much along party lines these days, rather than saying, oh, what's really best for the environment and ratepayers and business in general. I think what's a little frustrating to some of the advocates is that Wisconsin did have sort of a burgeoning wind and solar industry going here back in the 2000s, I think even farther back. I remember back in the 90s going up a wind tower with some guys from MG&E, and then they were, making a demonstration product, a project. You saw a lot of wind installations going into Wisconsin, but we've now fallen way behind all the other Midwestern states in terms of wind energy, and I think solar as well. So, I mean, those have been policy changes that have gone through the legislature and through the Public Service Commission.
Now, you mentioned the utilities case here a few moments ago. They say, hey, we've got fixed costs, even if some people are at least in part opting out. We've got to supply power to everyone else. And they've said there's a sort of a justice thing here that if I install solar power and I'm more efficient, I'm paying less, so the costs end up falling on my neighbors who haven't done those things.
Yeah, right on. I mean, I think it's not a black and white issue for sure, because and there on days where the sun's not shining or you don't have the wind isn't blowing, you still want to be connected to the grid so you can grab that power as you need it. I think what's happened is it's come on pretty quickly, and the size of the increases have been pretty large. I saw someone had quoted Phil Montgomery, who's a member of the state public Service Commission. He's a smart guy. He's been in the legislature, and he said the only thing slowing down a faster increase is that we didn't want to, you know, raise it too quickly. This is actually something that I found quite interesting. Madison Gas and Electric, in its own analysis, had said if we really want to get homeowners to pick up their share of the fixed cost, the monthly electric fee should be about $70 a month. So, I mean, there's a lot of customers who their entire bill is in $70 a month. And then when the fixed rates are that high, then you lose the incentive to use less power yourself at home, because what they've done to offset that increase in the fixed cost is they said, well, we can increase your fixed cost, but we'll lower the kilowatt hour charge, or we'll lower the rate that you pay for natural gas. Well, that acts as an incentive to use more rather than an incentive to conserve.
You know, Mike, as we wrap up, big picture, we've seen, the cell phone industry shaking up the old telecommunications. We've seen the internet shaking up everything, media, retail. Is this the next step, new energy technologies leading to what's going to be a restructuring in the energy industry?
Maybe in our lifetimes, Rob, I don't know. But like I said, it's like trying to move an aircraft carrier, because just think of the investment in all those poles and wires and giant power plants that you see, the power station that they built in Oak Creek in Milwaukee. That was the largest public utility project in state history, over $2 billion. I mean, that's four times the cost of doing a highway interchange somewhere. Big money here we're talking, and a lot of people are invested in those utilities as well, even people with their, the seniors with their retirement accounts. They don't want to see the utility companies go out of business either, so I don't think there's a real simple answer to it.
Mike, thanks as always for joining us.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
That's Mike Ivey. He covers business at the Capital Times.
Coming up next, we'll find out about the causes and coping strategies for compassion fatigue. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Remember to check out Central Time over at the Central Time Facebook page. And you can always tweet us on any topic we're talking about, or not talking about for that matter, at our Twitter feed. That's @CentralTimeWPR.